And I love this banner behind me. You know, Utah Taxpayers Association. You know, your watchdog. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but it bothers me a lot that we have some individuals in central part of the state who are looking at, you know, a $100,000 fine and time in jail for trespassing, something that happens every stinking week in Washington, D.C. And Lois Lerner is sitting on a beach somewhere, unaccountable for the things that she has done. So thank heaven that we've got other organizations such as you and others who recognize that unbridled, the federal government will take whatever power we give them, and that there are some who are trying to control that and to bring and to diversify that power back to the people. In the 5 or 6 minutes that I have, I want to make one or two comments if we could. And then if there's any questions or comments from you, I'd like to leave a few minutes for that. You mentioned that I sit on the Appropriations Committee, and I do want to address that and talk a little bit about the appropriations process. Look, if I came here and talk tax policy, you would be completely unimpressed. I think I understand the big picture on that. I was a small business owner. I certainly understand that government policy and tax policy in particular can be seem like a boot on the throat of small business, having had that experience. But, I mean, Howard, who, you know, I have the honor of following, and who is really smart on things like this, I think he would tell you that Chris gets the big picture, but I wouldn't sit here and pretend to lecture you individuals on specifics of tax policy. One thing that I can share with you, though, that I think might be helpful, and that is the government process of the appropriations and why that matters. You know, what I'd rather talk to you about is my position on the Intelligence Committee, and some of the work we're doing there is just unbelievable. And it reminds me again and again, not the subject of the day, but when America withdraws its influence, and when America doesn't take the responsibility to lead, we leave the world a much darker and a much more chaotic place. I spent most of last August in the Middle East, and I heard again and again and again, from Benjamin Netanyahu to President al-Sisi in Egypt to King Abdullah in Jordan to King Mohammed in Morocco and all over. And the first thing they say to you is, where is the United States? We need you. Will you please help us? And I'd love to talk to you a little bit about that and expand on that. But again, that's not the reason or my purpose for being here. Very quickly about the appropriations process, if I could. And I know that most of you know this, but I want to state something that's important to understand. As an appropriator, we have great power and influence, and we can do some things that will help people in my district and help people in the state and, frankly, help Americans. But it's constrained by this one fact. What percent of the federal government has to go through an appropriations process? About 32%, about a third. Now, it changes a little bit depending on the year, but it's pretty close, which leaves almost 70% that isn't appropriated, which means it's mandatory spending, which means there's not a thing in the world that we can do about that. And until we're willing to address that mandatory spending, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, for those of us who are interested in maybe making changes in the appropriations process, or how we spend and how that money, where that money is allocated, and maybe increasing those funds of money, for example, for the Department of Defense. Until we fix the mandatory side, there's very, very little we can do on our non-mandatory side. And I have people come and talk to me about National Institutes of Health or care for veterans or, you know, the university, the University of Utah, and who does amazing work up there and some of the science and research that they're involved with, and they're advocating for, you know, more funds to do some of the important things they do. But until we fix that mandatory side, there's just very little that we can do. And then let me conclude this very quick comment on that with this. It frustrates me sometimes to want to help people and to want to be involved with things that I think have great value, but recognizing that there is little that I can do But there's been a shift now in the thinking, I think, in Washington, where I think the window is beginning to open to where we can actually address that very critical mandatory spending. As an example, 2 years ago when I was brand new, freshman, been in Congress for all of about 6 weeks, 37 of us wrote a letter to the Speaker and to Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader, of which 23 were Republicans, but the others were Democrats. And we said, you have to be willing to work with us on addressing mandatory spending. And it was, I think, a positive reflection that many of the new Democrats in Washington recognize that this is something that we have to address and something that we need to work on. So the appropriations process is interesting work, and we can do some things that help people, for example, like precluding them from spending money to list the sage grouse, helping them work with some of the endangered species and other important issues for the state of Utah, but it's a much bigger picture as well nationally. Are there any of you that have questions or comments that you would like to talk about in the 2 minutes that I have left? And isn't it nice that some guy came in and instead of taking his 25 minutes, he took 12, and so get you back on schedule? So can I count on your vote for having done that, all of you? Anything from any of you that you would like to ask or make a comment on? I can't believe this group is shy. All right, then. That made my job easy. Thanks for letting me come spend a few minutes with you. And let me end with this. We want to help you if we can. We have some of the best staff, I think, on the Hill. And the staff we have here in Salt Lake City is equally good. If there's things that we can do for you or the people that you work with, please come talk to us. We'd love to help you if we can. I think that all of us are sincerely concerned about the future of our country, but I'm very hopeful as well. I think the next election is just going to be such an important moment for us. And I'm so excited as this debate goes forward, as we get a chance to address in a real, for the first time in a real significant and meaningful way, the real challenges that lay before us. So thanks for letting me spend a few minutes with you. And